It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. Mm-hmm.
Hey, a real cheery subject this week.
Yeah, fun.
Pain and suffering.
Yeah.
you were kind of gleeful about this. You were looking forward to talking about that. But that is a lot of life, is dealing with pain, how to avoid pain. Mm-hmm. So many of our addictions mm-hmm. and things are mm-hmm. people trying to avoid
yeah.
pain.
Mm-hmm.
You want to dive into this subject this week.
Yeah, and it's a hot topic in counseling. I mean, pain and suffering, probably always a hot topic in counseling. But it seems to have just, you know, peaked here in the current circumstances, situations. And so we have, I'd like to answer some questions about this, and I want to say up front, and then I'll close with these statements too, that there are two things that Christians today need to learn, that need to understand and work to understand, and they are the body of Christ and how prayer works. Those are, I think those are the things that are most important for the church and for Christian people in the church. And if you think you understand the body of Christ and prayer, but you struggle with pain and suffering, then you need to relook at those. Because we'll just start to explain, kind of like go into anatomy of pain and suffering here. Question, why suffering? And I think there was a book written with that title, Why Suffering? And you know, kind of a pat answer, I think, from Christians would be, well, we suffer because of sin. Suffering makes sense because there's sin. And another reason that suffering makes sense, we talk about how, well, Jesus suffered. And you see a lot of this in people explaining suffering. Well, Jesus suffered. And so
he didn't have any sin.
And he didn't have any sin, but he suffered because of sin, or those are two different thoughts. Sin causes suffering, and besides, Jesus suffered, and so we should be willing to suffer. But that doesn't really explain or answer the question as to why suffering. Why is it suffering? Why isn't it just well, Jesus laughed, and so we have to laugh. Why is it that we have to suffer? Why is it suffering that is the result of sin? Why not something else, you know? Maybe seems like we're talking in circles here. But the idea of suffering, and you say, well, because of sin, and let's just stick with that one, because of sin, suffering because of sin. Have you ever heard the phrase one hand clapping?
Oh, yeah. That's like an Eastern
myth. Yeah, it's kind of the idea of one hand clapping. You can't create stress just by pushing on something. There's got to be resistance. So if you're pushing one hand into the air, you get no resistance. If you're pushing against another hand, then you get some resistance. So if you think of sin as something that's causing pressure, well, let's say suffering, but pressure, well, where's the pressure being caused? What's pushing against the sin? What's actually causing the suffering? Mm. You got to have a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. You can't just be caught between a rock. It's got to be two things. Now, C.S. Lewis wrote a book, The Problem of Pain, which
great book,
wonderful.
One of the
book.
First I read as a new Christian, it had a real mm-hmm. impact on me. I don't know why at the time, but it seemed very profound.
Yeah, and what does he point out? Just leading into that, he talks about how. Atheists, agnostics, people in doubt point at pain and actually not just pain, but suffering. And we'll talk
about evil. Why is there evil in the world?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if there's a God,
why is there?
And he's good and he's all powerful, why is there pain? So that's the problem of it. He said, if there were no God, so you got the rock and the hard place. If there were no hard place, pain wouldn't be an issue. It's when you talk about believing in a God that's powerful and good and almighty, then you have a problem with pain. I saw a comment I think it was Eric Metaxas had a comment on his YouTube site. What would Darwin say about, you know, what would Darwin say about pain? Mm. He wouldn't have a problem with pain, you know, or Darwinism, Darwinists, they wouldn't, shouldn't, well, yeah, they shouldn't have a problem with
ideas,
pain.
Atheistic ideas, and that's again back to the Eastern idea that pain and suffering is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And your problem is not the pain and suffering, is that you think there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know,
or that you think there should be. You think there
shouldn't be pain, but the Bible says, "I'm sorry, there is pain, and I'm going to show you how to get through it."
Yeah, yeah. So the point I think that C.S. Lewis brings out in this is that rather than pain proving the absence of God, it suggests the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
We blame God for pain because we feel it's morally wrong. So we believe in a God that is good. We suffer. So suffering is a view of reality as a reality of suffering as tragedy, or suffering is a view of reality as tragic. Some aspects of of reality is tragic. For example, starving people in the third world countries. You know, why are they starving? Well, there's not enough corn. Yes, but if there's a caring God, so we tend to look at suffering. It's a view of reality as tragedy. Tragedy insists, the idea of tragedy, why is something a tragedy? Why is starvation a tragedy? Why do we not just look at it as, well, but that's the way it is when the crops don't grow. Why do we look at it as a tragedy? Well, we look at it as a tragedy because we insist that things should be better. And why do we insist that things should be better if there's no God? This is Lewis's mm-hmm. point. You know, what would Darwin say again? So let me step away from the notes here for a second. And I may be reiterating here a little bit later on. But so you have pain. Pain isn't necessarily suffering. Pain is pain. Suffering can be pain. We talk about suffering, emotional pain. Or we speak about emotional pain. So we have pain that's physical in our body, and we have pain that's emotional. But typically, when we refer to suffering, we're referring to that view of pain. It's not the pain itself. It's a view of the pain. So that's more like a psychological, emotional aspect of pain. Is pain bad? Is all pain bad? What does pain do? I have talked before, and I'll mention again books by Dr. Paul Brand, and the one most specifically I'm thinking of is In His Image, where he talks as a surgeon about his work with lepers who don't feel pain and how they have to get through life and how difficult it is to get through life without feeling pain. Mm-hmm. So what is pain, physical pain? Well, and we don't say, I hit my thumb with a hammer and it hurts, and so if there's a God, why does my thumb hurt? Because that pain makes perfect sense. Cells from my body send messages to my brain. I smash my thumb with a hammer, and the messages coming from those cells get to the brain, and the brain says, hey, there's a problem with these messages. I'm getting messages from the toes. Those are all status quo. I'm getting messages from the thumb. Those seem to be a little bit different. I got to assign some energy down there. So the brain sends impulses down and they hit the nerve endings and I go, ouch, I'll grab my toe. No, I'll grab my thumb because that's where the brain sent the impulse down to my thumb. So I grab my thumb. So is pain a bad idea? No, we say pain's a good idea. Gosh, if I didn't have pain, I'd be putting a Band-Aid on my toe and my thumb would be bleeding. Mm. So pain's a good thing. We don't have a problem with pain that has an explanation. Is all pain suffering? Well, suffering, as I said, tends to be long-term and emotional. And so suffering is a belief response to pain. Suffering is a belief about the pain. It's a view of the pain. As I'm going to talk here later, it's actually kind of a moral view of pain because suffering says it shouldn't be happening. Mm. Something else should be happening. We're talking about physical pain, which we can rationalize and say, no, it makes sense that my thumb hurts since I hit it with a hammer. So I don't ask, is there a God? is there really a God if my thumb is hurting? That makes perfect sense. The suffering that's objectionable is the suffering that seems to be senseless. I mean, it's unaccounted for. So suffering in that sense is a moral judgment of events. We're looking at pain and we're saying, that's morally wrong. Why? Why would it be? Because ultimately, I think we Christians certainly, but even agnostics and atheists must embrace the idea of God, or they couldn't see suffering morally. Mm. So therefore, suffering is objectionable when we believe it's uncalled for.
It's not fair. It's and I think not that, fair. That's what that, I think that's what they got into in The Problem with Pain, the C.S. Lewis book. He made a big deal about fairness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not fair that I should be suffering, or these people over here should be suffering.
Yeah. And again, his point: if you wouldn't be, you wouldn't say that if you didn't really believe that there was a moral overseer that's off, you know, AWOL. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, suffering isn't like the physical pain that we can look at and say, well, there's a perfectly good reason why my muscles ache because I spent 15 minutes lifting a lot of weight or something. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we say no pain, no gain. We embrace that kind of pain. Mm-hmm. We have no moral problem with it at all. It's objectionable when we feel it's uncalled for, or it isn't explained. We don't understand the pain. So here's a question. Could we understand suffering? If we understood the purpose of suffering, would that be a different experience? Because we understand physical pain and we treat it as though it's a good thing. But emotional pain, we don't understand. And so we treat it as though it's like some kind of a moral violation. And so I want to try to tap into a little bit into, you know, what does suffering do? And how can we understand suffering in a way that we don't, it doesn't cause us a faith issue, that we actually embrace it? You know, the writers of the scripture said, we glory in tribulation. Mm. We're more than conquerors. And I don't think they were writing that because they wanted to sell a lot of Bibles. These were things that were being worked out in their lives. And they'd seen Jesus go through this. And these were things that they absolutely understood. When they had a death sentence, when people were being Christians put to death, they said, we glory in tribulation. Tribulation works patience, and et cetera, et cetera. So when you come back, dig a little deeper into that.
Okay, people are maybe going through some of this, some pain, some suffering in their life. You were saying how emotional pain is what drives a lot of counseling, people trying to get answers. If people need help with any of these issues or anything else, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're also going to find these radio shows as podcasts. Offices, Kirkland and Edmonds. I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, too. So either one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, and now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor discussing pain and suffering this week and how to sort out the reasons for that, if we can. Maybe some of it's a bit of a mystery and we have to live with it.
I think it will remain largely a mystery, or at least in part a mystery, because, as we'll get to here, suffering has a lot to do with the nature of God. You know, one of the things people say, one of the, like, kind of the knee-jerk responses to the question of suffering that I hear sometimes is, or why do we suffer? You know, God, you know, if suffering is senseless or uncalled for, you know, we need an explanation for God, from God. And one of the responses that we hear sometimes or suggested is that God is God. God can do whatever he wants, which seems to just duck the question, and it's not really a satisfactory answer. But backing up just a bit, if we understand the purpose of physical pain, we have no problem with physical pain. Can we understand a purpose for emotional pain where we it doesn't question God and his sovereignty and his love, but it actually fits the picture? And so we can embrace those things, realizing that just as we say in physical pain, we say no pain, no gain. Could we come to the place where when we're emotionally suffering, we could say there's gain in this? If I don't suffer this way, there's no gain. I'm actually gaining. So how would we understand that? And my suggestion is, and this is where it will remain somewhat obscure for us, is that pain has something to do with the nature of God. So does God know? I want to ask this question. Does God know suffering? I jump around a bit here on my notes. Does God know suffering? I believe that he does. And I heard it recently said that God had to come as Christ, had to come as the Son of God in order to experience suffering. But I don't buy that at all. I think that God is infinitely more acquainted with suffering than we can ever be.
Well, there's many places in the scripture where it says God's heart was filled with pain.
Yeah, and we hear that word, God's heart was filled with pain.
And the world had gone astray, and he was very pained by that.
Right, and we use terms like, you know, it repented God that he had created man. So we use these human terms, and then we try to kind of like project them back and say, oh, God was feeling what I feel. Well, instead of realizing, God was feeling infinitely more than I feel. I don't have a word for the pain that God feels. And so if I say that God suffers or God repents or God regrets, those are words that I would use the best I can get at trying to get at that emotion. But his emotions are infinitely more than my emotions, and they're different than my emotions because all of my emotions have mortality in them, fear, shame. God has none of that. So even though I'm using English or human terms, anger, wrath, repentance, those kinds of words, and I'm trying to project those are the best I can do, but they don't really reflect the emotions of God because God is not fallen and his emotions are not the same as my emotions. Mm-hmm. They're infinitely more. It was said, John V. Taylor, favorite author of mine, no longer living, books out of print, but you can still get his books through used book sources. One book, I believe it was the Incarnate God, but he was talking about how a God that loves infinitely must also suffer infinitely. John B. Taylor was kind of like the male counterpart of Mother Teresa, and he worked in Calcutta a lot as an Anglican bishop, and he was telling in one of his books, could have been the Christ-like God too, but he was telling about working in a speaking engagement in Calcutta, and he's surrounded, if you know anything about Calcutta in India, he's surrounded by people who are destitute. You know, they throw infants in the river. They're starving, the caste system. Mm. And he's talking to this woman who has just been brutalized in life, lost all of her children, lost her husband. She's in poverty. And she was talking to him after hearing him speak, and she said, if I didn't think God could suffer, I could never believe in God. Hmm. And when I first read that, I thought, God suffer? But after reading it and pondering it and hearing those words, a God that loves infinitely must suffer infinitely, and just realizing that God suffers more than we could ever comprehend. Mm-hmm. And why does God suffer? Well, you say, well, it's because of sin. Well, it is because of sin, but that's not the rock and the hard place. That's the rock. What's the hard place? And I say, we can parallel this when we talk about an ailment that I have in my body. I have a fever because I got the flu. Well, not just because you got the flu. If you didn't have an immune system, you wouldn't have a fever. You have a fever because you have the flu and an immune system that's fighting it. So why do we suffer? It's not just because of sin, but something in the nature of God resists sin. And that's what the suffering, that's the rock and the hard place. There's something in God's nature that acts like an immune system. And God responds to sin, which is a transversion of transversing God's or contradicting God's nature. That's what sin is. And people say, sin is missing the mark, and that's not exactly true. If I'm pounding nails and I miss one, that's not a sin, even though I've missed the mark. Sin has to do with the nature of God. Sin is anything that contradicts or cuts across the nature of God. So you say, is smoking a sin? Does it cut across the nature of God? I don't know. What's that got to do with smoking? Well, why do I smoke? Well, I think it looks classy. The other guys are doing it. And so this is wanting to fit in, comparing myself with other people, wanting to bolster my image. Mm. Those contradict the image of God. And so it's a hard attitude. It's not sticking the smoke in my mouth, the cigarette in my mouth. It's a hard attitude. That's what cuts across the nature of God. So things that aren't sin to one person could be sin to another person. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the suffering, the physical pain, comes from not just that I have the flu in this illustration, but that there's an immune system fighting the flu. That's what caused the fever. Mm-hmm. What causes the suffering? It's not just the evil of the world. It's not just that things are immoral or seem immoral. It's that there's something resisting that. That's what's causing, that's what causes the suffering. Yeah, so sin can be the cause of suffering, but what's the reason for suffering? And the reason for suffering has to do with that that nature of God. And what's that, how does that apply to us? Well, I think it applies to us in that, I'll just say it this way, the reason for suffering has to do with the purpose and the process of the maturing of the body of Christ. Just like the reason for the fever, if I get the flu and it's so it's a virus pitted against the immune system, and what's the reason for the fever? The reason for the fever is the immune system is bent on the body surviving and the health of the body. So we've got something in the body of Christ. There's suffering in the world. There's suffering in the world. But why do I feel the suffering? Why do I feel the suffering? Why don't I just look on it and just in a very pragmatic way? Why is the suffering? Because there's something working in me. There's a perfection that's working in me. In the body of Christ, suffering in the body of Christ, we look at Christians suffering here and there. This probably takes more time to go into, but we look at Christians suffering around the world. My view of that suffering has to do with the purpose and the process of maturing the body of Christ. Suffering articulates, particularizes, delineates, distinguishes, culls, winnows. It galvanizes the body. Suffering in my physical body galvanizes the body. The whole body recognizes the pain, the physical pain, and it all comes together. My entire physical body comes together to address the pain. And the body of Christ, the entire body of Christ, is to come together. Now, this requires that every cell is active, and so I just have time to come back on my opening comments. Again, this is a big subject and takes probably another show or two to get into, or maybe somebody should write a book. Two things that Christians need to understand today in order to understand suffering. We need to understand the body of Christ, which very few of us do, and we need to understand the work of prayer. Those are fundamental to embracing suffering and seeing that it has a purpose, understanding the body of Christ, understanding the work of prayer. I have to leave it there because we're running out of time, but you can see those are subjects that are eternal. And I just challenge people to, you know, in your prayers, start asking God about that. Show me what the body of Christ is. And I would suggest in his image by Paul Brand, show me how prayer works. Show me how prayer works. Fundamental things.
Okay, difficult subject this week, and I think you've talked about this in some ways before. People want to listen to some of your other shows. How do they do that?
Yeah, the podcasts are at BibleBasedCounselor.com, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Then we must be approaching 7 years of podcasts there on all different kinds of subjects like this. Also some articles at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. ChristianCounselorsForum.com. So the phone number for myself is 425-778-6169. And people also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Skype counseling, in-person counseling, Kirkland Edmonds.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.